And then that brings us now on to paper 7K to do with IFRS 8 operating segments. And this relates to a letter that the board received earlier this year with some concerns that were raised about IFRS 8, and in particular the meaning of the term similar economic characteristics in paragraph 12 of IFRS 8, concerns that that was unclear, and also questions about the function and role of the chief operating decision maker as defined in paragraph 7 of IFRS 8. Now, when the board received this, you asked if the committee would look at the concerns that had been raised by the submitter, and they did that at the July Interpretations Committee meeting, and they recommended that the concerns would be best addressed as part of the post-implementation review of IFRS 8. Over the summer, so since then, the submitter wrote again, and this time to the Interpretations Committee, expressing its concerns about the committee's decision, and the committee reconsidered this, or considered the comment letter at its September meeting. To just tell you a little bit more about the concerns themselves, first issue was to do with clarifying the meaning of similar economic characteristics, and this relates to paragraph 12 of IFRS 8. Now, this sets out conditions under which different operating segments can be combined for reporting purposes, and the submitter felt that it was unclear what similar economic circumstances preparers were looking at in order to make that judgment, and propose that an additional disclosure be made to clarify or to disclose what it was that the preparer had looked at in making its judgment on that particular criteria as the basis for combining operating segments. Now, although we agreed with the submitter's proposals, the committee disagreed with the proposal to make an amendment. They felt that to do so would in part be questioning management's judgment, which seemed to go against the basic principle of IFRS 8, which is through the eyes of management, but also they were concerned that the disclosure was addressing more to do with the enhancing the possibility of detecting non-compliance with the requirements of IFRS 8 rather than furthering the objective or meeting the objective of IFRS 8. And for that reason, the committee recommended that the board should consider that issue as part of the post-implementation review of that standard. The second issue related to the function of the chief operating decision maker. And the submitter had raised concerns about the two aspects to the role. There's an assessing performance aspect to the role of the chief operating decision maker and a resource allocation role. The first being viewed, I think, more as an operating role and the other being more as a strategic role. And so the submitter was focusing more on the operating aspect of the role and wanting to see that part of the role being emphasized, and proposing that there was deletion to references to the chief operating decision maker's allocation, sort of strategic aspect of the role. Now, we disagreed with that. We felt that both parts of the role were important. They are distinct, but they are related. And so we felt that it was important to retain that. And so our proposal to the committee back in July was that this should be not amended. The committee agreed with that, but felt that it was something that should be looked at as part of a post-implementation review because of perhaps the complex and involved aspects of the concerns that have been raised there. There was also a related matter to do with information provided to the chief operating decision maker, and this relates to if the chief operating decision maker is not a single person but a group of people, whether information provided to one member of the chief operating decision maker group should be classified as information provided to the group as a whole, and the consequences that that would then have on the disclosures required and the segments identified in IFRS 8 disclosures. We disagreed with the proposed amendment that the submitter was suggesting, and we thought that the emphasis in IFRS 8 should remain highlighting that the generation of information that enables users to make more informed decisions, and that we should highlight that rather than the nature of the information that's provided to the CODM. The committee agreed with the staff recommendation not to make an amendment to paragraph 1 of IFRS 8 in respect to that item. Now, as I mentioned, the submitter wrote again during the summer expressing disappointment at the committee's decision to recommend that the board look at all of these issues as part of post-implementation review. It did feel that there would be benefits from addressing these issues through annual improvements because the post-implementation review of IFRS 8 will obviously take a certain period of time in order to be completed, and then the objective of a post-implementation review itself is not to actually make amendments to standards but to identify perhaps further steps that the board might make in its standard setting action. The committee did consider this. It wasn't persuaded to change its recommendation. However, it did note that areas that could be addressed or could be clarified further in IFRS 8 following a post-implementation review would be to clarify the meaning of similar economic characteristics in paragraph 12, and also the criteria for identifying similar segments in the subparagraphs of paragraph 12. And also that clarification could be made to paragraph 7 of IFRS 8 to explicitly exclude non-executive directors from the group that is identified as being the chief operating decision maker. That is because of concerns that if the CODM is addressing operating matters, that non-executive directors would not expect to be included to be part of those operating decisions and therefore would not form part of the CODM. So the questions to the board are that does the board agree with the committee's recommendation to consider these issues as part of a post-implementation review of IFRS 8?
I must say, first of all, I'd like to say that it is in itself encouraging that this submission came from ESMA. So it's not just us sending letters to ESMA, but it's also ESMA sending letters to us. And it's hard for me to truly estimate the substance of the issues, but I feel a bit uncomfortable that we give two times no to securities regulators who we should be cooperating with very closely. So part of our strategy review that we that says that we should do so, first of all by writing clear standards that are easy to enforce, and secondly cooperating in any possible way. So I feel very uncomfortable that even after their insistence that we take something on board, that we kick it down the road. Is there absolutely no way that we can, at least to some extent, address their issues in a shorter run?
One thought occurs.
Sorry.
One thought occurs to me. It was interesting in the committee's discussions that Scott Taub, who was with the SEC Chief Accountant's Office when the FASB standard came out, said these are all issues that he dealt with, not in enforcement, but in the chief accountant's office, yeah, of saying to people, no, who do you think you're kidding? So we have available to us that experience. Thought two, the ESMA, what impressed me about ESMA's comments during the meeting was that it was all focused on the fact that for one reason or another, they believed that investors were being ill-served and that they were looking for ways to make more transparent some of the processes that were going on. Thing three was, I think the committee is absolutely right that to a degree this is attempting to enhance their ability to pursue enforcement actions. And there's some question about whether or not we ought to amend a standard to do that. I wonder if I could recommend, I don't wonder if, perhaps the board should advise the staff to look more carefully at the SEC's enforcement or chief accountant's experience, leverage on Scott, and see if there's some way that we can find to communicate some of that experience into our marketplace without it having to go through the interpretations process or an improvements process. I'm not sure exactly how we would accomplish that, but maybe we can experiment a little bit. And I'd ask the board's permission to do that.
Can you hum a few more bars as to what you're thinking, though?
Educational material.
Educational, okay.
Can I just say something?
Something like the depreciation paper or Jones paper on cash flows, things like that.
BK.
You know, I do agree that if a regulator has a problem and they consistently come back to us, we ought to be seriously thinking because there is an issue out there. And I was whispering to Pat McConnell while you were presenting it, saying that the same exact issue was a big practice issue in the U.S. because of the operating segments issue in 131. So I think my question to Pat was, why can't the staff leverage on the experience we had in the United States, because SEC is a monitoring board member for us. So I was thinking, why would we not use that and see if we can deal with it rather than wait for post-implementation review, which is not going to start immediately. It's going to be some time, then the issue, then the exposure, then all that stuff. So I think there's a more elegant way to do it quickly and satisfy all the people. And I think we should pursue that. Because we got two times this letter. That kind of bothers me. March and August, I think, if I remember right.
Amaru.
Yes, I will reinforce Wayne's perspective on his reading of the ESMA representative during the meeting. I was particularly paying attention on his assessment about the investor's perspective. And I always try to take into consideration Wayne's perspective of IFRS, the interpretation committee, of more good than harm. And I truly agree with Wayne. We should always take into consideration good experience in dealing quickly with problems that are facing. So, but I do have a question here. It might be early for Wayne or even Michael to answer this. How would you envisage this educational process? Would this take in as much time as it would be for the interpretation committee to deal with this issue as it dealt in its normal process? This is one question. And the second is, of course, we can, if we do agree to have the interpretation committee going ahead as proposed in 1A, this does not, this can be considered during the post-implementation review of IFRS 8 anyway.
Well, I think we have two different suggestions here. One dealing with a CODM definition, which is probably a tricky one, a bit tricky. The other one is just to improve transparency of the disclosures, as suggested in 22, little c, page 4. I think that comparing the level of disclosures we do require in the most recent standards that we have adopted, especially on consolidation and control, and where there is judgment to be exercised by management, we do generally now require management to explain the basis for such judgment. So if we had been drafting IFRS 8 after IFRS 10, I think that at least the first sentence suggested by ESMA in paragraph 22C, where operating segments have been aggregated, the judgments made by management in the application of the criteria, I think we would have drafted that as part of IFRS 8 today. We did not do that 5 years ago, 4 years ago, but I do support this improvement in terms of transparency. I'm not sure I would go as far as ESMA is proposing with the last part of the sentence, which is very, very prescriptive and very detailed and not very principles-based. So I would probably stop at the end of the first sentence in paragraph C. I think it is typically what we could do as an improvement. I see no reason why, comparing with what we have been doing with other improvements, we could not do it as well. And so I would support at least doing that as an improvement. The CODM issue is, I think, in my mind, a bit more difficult, and it's probably more of the post-implementation review type. But I would certainly try to help ESMA by trying to improve transparency in the disclosures here.
Pat?
Sorry.
Pat, one or two. I don't know. Patricia.
It's my view that if there's a practice problem, the Interpretations Committee shouldn't defer fixing it because we're going to do a post-implementation review. I think, as someone else said, this review is going to take quite a while to do, and then there's going to be decisions, and then there'll be a long process to fix things. And so it's going to be several years, and that doesn't help the preparer or the investor community to wait for things to be fixed. If we know there's a problem, and I think during the post-implementation reviews, probably a number of things are going to come to our attention that could be fixed by the Interpretations Committee, and I don't see any reason why they should wait for the conclusion of the post-implementation review to be addressed. And with this particular request, I think the staff's analysis was correct, and I disagree with why the committee rejected it. At least from a user's perspective, I don't think it's a question of mistrusting management's judgment or trying to detect devious behavior. I think when segments are aggregated, if the user doesn't have some sense of what the criteria are, the linking factors, the common thread that runs through those entities, they're not going to be able to use that information to make decisions, to forecast the future, or to even understand what happened in the current period, unless they understand what the thread is that holds those aggregated items together. So I would support the staff's recommendations on both issues.
Pat?
I couldn't have said it more eloquently. I think everything Pat said is something I would support, and I strongly endorse your recommendation that however way we can address this, whether it's through the IFRIC or the suggestion that I think Wayne is contemplating, I think
that's sound. I think that demonstrates the responsiveness of this board to the interests of investors.
John?
Minor comment. Agree with what has just been said. The only thing I would do is I would talk to submitter and see if Wayne's recommendation is something that they believe would work for them.
Fair point.
Elsewhere, wasting time.
That fair point.
Yeah, let's see how far we can get with a light version, which is what Wayne proposed with educational material. If not, I think we should really ask the committee to reconsider its decision. Yes? Okay, I think that brings us to lunch. Yes, we reconvene at 2 o'clock because people are flying in for this meeting and we don't want them to come late.
Observers. We've got some observers we know are coming in. So.
Generally on our side.
Oh, I agree.
So this is just a matter of point.
No, they're, well, we, I understand. I understand.
There's a minimum reason coming up soon, next week.
Next week or two, so we can talk to them about it then, yeah.
I was making that up on the fly, so.
Yeah. The